Rock the house with that one. I was really blessed by that. You know, especially at this time, we feel so separated, and discord is going on. And breathe on us, God.
I love you.
I love you too. Well, I so much enjoy working with Sue Stanger and our stewardship committee on the cleverness of the programs that they create out of their imaginations. And so when Sue and I were talking about being invited, I just thought that's the welcoming spirit that the church has. We'll take everybody, anybody, and we'll love on them because Jesus loves on them. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes, especially in this climate of political unrest and social unrest. It's difficult. So I chose a passage that just seemed like Jesus, the perfect inviter, demonstrated to us. It's a text that's found in the fourth chapter of John. It's been labeled as Jesus at high noon with the shady lady. Some of you know it as the Samaritan woman at the well. And I want to give you just a little background, because some people don't understand when they read this story how divided the people were. You see, in 723 BC, the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. Israel had already been divided by Solomon's sons. And so the northern kingdom was separate from the southern kingdom. But when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom, there was already enmity between the two groups. And the Assyrians took away many of those northern Israelites, but eventually through history they came back. And by Jesus' time, there was a huge divide because the people in the north, known as Samaritans, had created their own temple in the north. And they wanted nothing to do with those Jews of the south. And likewise, the Jews of the south berated the people of the north. And as Jesus was walking through a very, what I would call a marginal border town between the two, where a famous well was, he was tired and asked for a drink. And it was the beginning of a most incredible conversation. A dialogue between a woman that was a Samaritan and a Jew, Jesus, that was a man. Convention didn't like that. A proper gentleman would never speak to a lady alone at a well. But Jesus was tired and he asked her for a drink. And that conversation opened up something deeper than water. You see, the woman called Jesus a prophet. Since he had told her about her life, he knew that her lifestyle had given her five husbands. And he knew that the man she was with now was not her husband. Oh, she was a shady lady. But she knew enough that when he responded the way he did, knowing about her what he did, she called him the Messiah, the Mashiach in Hebrew, the Christos in Greek, the Anointed One. You see, she recognized something that even his disciples were having trouble recognizing. And it's interesting that to know that the Samaritans referred to Jesus as Messiah. She went and told the whole town. The town came out. They called him the Savior of the world. They recognized him when his own townspeople wouldn't recognize him. You know, that shady lady or some dubious gentleman might be the one that's responsible for you to see Jesus and to invite you. Invite is such a warm and welcoming word, to come and see. That's why I like Sue's approach to this. I'm looking forward to each of these words that we've worked on. But you got to remember, invited. The kingdom of God has invited you to be a part of it, an active representative of it in the world. You know, it's interesting to contrast, before I actually read the scripture, chapter 3, where Jesus has a midnight visit from Nicodemus, a Pharisee in fine standing. And yet, after this lengthy talk that has some great theology in it, Nicodemus leaves silently by night. Whereas in the next chapter, Jesus visits a shady lady. Not such a good reputation. And she is there at noon. Why was she there at noon? Well, probably because the other proper women who went to the well at the morning shunned her and wouldn't allow her to be there. So she had to make that march to Jacob's well in the middle of the midday heat. You see, the contrast is pretty incredible. The religious dude, Nicodemus, walks away quietly. But this one who's really had a genuine encounter, who comes from the other side of town, goes and calls all of the people of her town and says, come and witness what I have witnessed. Here are the words found in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? And with his sons and his flocks drank from it. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw the water. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth.
For the Father seeks such as these to worship Him.
God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth.
And the woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ.
When He comes, He will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her,
I am He, the one who is speaking to you.
Just then the disciples came and they were astonished that He was speaking with a woman. But no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking to her?
Then the woman left her water jug and went to the city.
She said to the people, come and see a man that has told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?
They left the city and were on their way to him.
Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about.
So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. But Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to complete his work.
Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together.
For here the saying holds true. One sows, another reaps.
I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Well, many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed with them 2 days, and many more believed because of his word.
They asked him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days.
Wow.
And many more believed his word, and they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. May God bless the reading of His Word. Will you pray with me? Lord God, what a beautiful story of a woman unburdening her heart and life and receiving acceptance, being invited into God's kingdom with joy and with peace and with love. That's what we want to be, God. We want to be that in our individual lives. The people we meet, we want to know that we love them because you love us. At this church, we want to invite all people to come and learn of God's goodness, to grow together as a community that values loving this world the way you did, and caring. So Lord, open us as we contemplate what this woman contemplated, and lead us to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I don't know how short my homily will be, but it's occurred to me as I was reading this how hot it's been. 109 one day, I clocked it at 110 another, and I've been walking, taking two-hour mountainous walks. And I'm telling you, if I start later than 8 o'clock, it's hot by the time I get back. And my mouth is parched, and I never have enjoyed water more. In fact, I get to the point that I just am enthusiastic about that first glass of water, and then go to the second, and then the third, and then I'm a little bit full. You see, we know things about water. It's a different kind of nourishment, isn't it? In fact, there's the rules of three. An average human can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 hours in extreme cold, possibly 3 weeks without food, and 3 days without water. You see, we need water. Water is so important, it's become a vast industry in America. I mean, we can get any kind of water we want to. We can get Engedi mineral water, Ethos water, Evian, Aquafina, Fiji water, which is one of my favorites, Propel Fitness water. We've got Poland Springs. We've got Arrowhead. We've got Icelandic Glacier. We've got spring water. We've got crystal clear water, Culligan water, Nestle Pure Life water. And I could go on and on. You see, that is a billion-dollar business in America. But do you know what? Almost all those waters are the same as what come out of our tap, except they've been additionally purified in some way. A mineral or something has been added. But it is true that we all have our favorites. Coca-Cola even has its own. Dasani water is Coca-Cola. It's purified tap water. But you know what? None of those companies have been able to give water to the world that will quench our thirst forever. And that's what Jesus promises in this. He promises that the water he gives us will never let us down. You know, when I think of water, I can't help but think of the wonderful people in our church that participated in a program that was started at the Presbyterian Church of the Living Waters. And it's Living Waters for the World. And we went to Ecuador. And in a high mountain, these wonderful men in our church took the time, the energy, and the expense to go and give a complete city fresh, clean drinking water. You know, in one of these projects that I read about, in a barrio in Manzanas, Cuba, the pastor, as soon as the purified water had been installed, he said, as soon as the system was installed, the people in the community said, "Hey, the church has living water," and started coming. What a great mission. And you know what that leaves me with? That leaves me with that incredible feeling after my walk when I drink the water down and then I just go, that's being invited. It's when everything is completely open and at peace. And that's what Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman does at the well. He leaves her with complete peace and acceptance. In that moment, it doesn't matter that he's the Son of God or the Savior of the world. A man in a male-oriented society, or Jew encountering someone from an ethically disparaged place like Samaria. All the barriers, all the barrios, all the differences like gender and nationality drift away in the world of God. Because God's love and acceptance makes us feel refreshed. We can take a sip of his living water and we can go out and enact some of the things he's talking to us about in Scripture. We can go out and enact those in our lives. And you know what? That same awe comes over us. You see,
Jesus recognized this woman's thirst, and it became transformational for her. You see, Jesus will be thirsty again after he enjoys a cup of water, we hope, because we never hear that the woman actually gave him a glass of water. But it was an entry into relationship that incredibly affected a whole community. Living water. This week, take a drink of Jesus. And then say, ah. It's a great word. It doesn't have any meaning at all. Except it's an expression from our hearts of satisfaction. Of fullness. Only one drink will truly quench the thirst of our souls. After all, Jesus made it very clear, you are invited. Amen? Amen. And